This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast here with Seth Payne. And let's overreact to some of what we saw from Texans OTAs yesterday. We ain't got but one practice under our belts, and we're already in a space where we're gonna overreact. I think we're ready to overreact. And I'll start with this one, okay? Number one storyline. I think for a lot of like the sort of in the trenches type of Texans, not just a casual Texans fan, but the people that listen to this show and the people that are following up to the date, up to minute updates of Texans OTAs, the offensive line was probably the A topic, but I'm going to go even above that and just go straight to the A topic of the quarterback, because all eyes were on the offensive line, but you couldn't ignore seeing the quarterback out there, CJ Stroud, QB1, in the building, okay, leader of the team, but not exactly throwing as part of team activities, and not even so much with a helmet on, Seth Payne, not even with a helmet on. Now, D'Amico Ryan's talked about managing guys differently and specifically. Some guys are on a bit of a pitch count, if you will, but it's not like this was some kind of like strenuous, really difficult workout, super grueling, super physical, you need to hold a guy out type of workout. This just the first damn practice, and they inside the bubble, barely really doing anything, and CJ Stroud, not a full participant. Is this something, as we overreact here on Payne and Pendergast, is this something to be overly concerned about? CJ Stroud clearly not being 100% as they start practices?
It's kind of like, it's one of those things not to be alarmed about, but it's like maybe you see your neighbor doing something kind of sketchy. Like it looks like he's looking at putting a fence up, and where he's measuring, I think it's on my property line. It's over my property line. But maybe that's not what he's doing. So I'm not going to get overly alarmed about it. But if I start seeing him hire Sean Bajani to come build him a fence or something, then I'm going to freak out. That's where I am. I'm going to monitor this situation.
But it doesn't feel responsible to wait until Bajani gets there to be building the fence to be worried about it, right? Like it feels like one of those things where you might want to be preemptively concerned. Now, I don't know what early concern does for us, for our mental health and for like course of action. It ain't nothing that we can do about it. But like, if you're going to get, if you're going to be early on a concern, this is one to be early on. Like,
you're
I feel
I need to be like, what are you doing in this neighborhood, Sean Vajani?
Exactly.
I don't like the looks of you. What's going on?
Where's your damn helmet, CJ? What's going on? Is your hand okay? Is your shoulder okay? How's that knee doing? We can't act like, and you hit on this earlier on the show, like we can't act like CJ Stroud has not dealt with the ramifications of being banged up, being one of the more frequently hit quarterbacks last season. Like, that was a thing. And to me, it continues to be a thing until he's either 100%, the offensive line is actually fixed, or both. Like, but until I feel better about both of those things, I'm still going to be wondering, man, is he all right? Is he good? Is he okay?
He was on an arm management plan this last year based on just his previous arm injuries. He's had a separated shoulder in his maybe it's as simple as them kind of like dealing with a pitcher in the offseason, that you want to just be sure that your arm is completely recovered and that you're not too aggressive too early. And right, there's no contact, there's no threat of injury by and large with quarterbacks in OTAs, but maybe in just trying to keep his arm as fresh and lively as possible, that they're trying to take some extra measures for that. And I could see them not wanting to advertise that necessarily. But I get, that would be the best case scenario, is if they're just being ultra careful and backed by all kinds of sports science and analytics. Fine. God bless you. Just he needs to lessen his workload a little bit in the offseason. If that's the case, and maybe, you know, last year where they did do all those private workouts, CJ got together so many times with the wide receivers on their own, that maybe there was a part of them in the offseason that felt a little bit like, all right, I need to back off on the throwing some and be sure that we do the lion's share of the work over the course of training camp and in the season.
Yeah, and look, I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek here and having some fun with it, but on a serious note, I would say, like, it is just a reminder of the urgency and importance, Seth. Like, I think the urgency and the importance, maybe it just goes without saying, we understand the urgency and importance of not just managing your quarterback correctly, but fixing your offensive line and making sure that things are right. But it highlights it. And we'll talk about the offensive line in just a second. But it does highlight the importance and the concern of it. It's like, man, we're not just having this offensive line conversation that we're constantly having for the sake of our health, for our own edification, or even just because it was bad production-wise, just like as an individual unit. It's not even just that. It is the domino effect of, okay, poor offensive line also means, and likely means, can mean banged up quarterback, critical year three for the quarterback in the year before you're likely, not likely, you're almost assuredly 99.9% going to pay the guy, going to sign the guy to a contract extension, going into a year where he's learning a new offense, right, coming off of a down year. So probably feels like he's got a little bit to prove, if not to others, just to himself. Like, it's a big year, and watching him with the backdrop of this offensive line conversation that we've been having just highlights the importance of it all, the vitality of it all to me. You know, that was the big takeaway. Like, man, you can't afford to mess around with this thing year three with CJ Stroud right before that, you know, shortly before this rookie deal is going to be over with in a couple of years. Like, you've got to get this thing right. There's not a lot of time to waste here.
And one thing that CJ talked about earlier this year in talking about Nick Caley and how the offense might be a little bit different was CJ was excited to get more involved in the pre-snap stuff, to be more of a director of everything and a conductor back there. And that's something that takes time and reps. It's, you know, it's like this brand new offense. It's usually maybe a little bit overblown how hard it is to adjust a new offense, but you do need the reps. You need time to get used to the new vocabulary. What you called one play last year, you're going to call that play something different this year. And just getting the reps and doing it in a huddle and at the line of scrimmage and all of that, that's you need reps to do that. It's not just about the physical motions, especially if you're trying to take CJ to a new level on what he does on the mental side of things. That's the part where if we get midway through OTAs and there's still no explanation for why CJ isn't out there, if he isn't out there, I mean, he might be out there on Friday. I don't know. That's where I'd start to get nervous. If we get to the end of next week and CJ's still not practicing, I feel like we're owed some kind of an explanation. Yeah. And maybe it won't come to that.
And to be clear, and as somebody that was there, it's not like he's out there laboring or like he looks unhealthy or he looks banged up. Hell, he ain't Joe Mixon in a walking boot or nothing like that. Like, it's not like it's that bad, right? He's out there working out and he's participating like as part of the team, with the team. But again, on a light type of workout, it is somewhat concerning or makes you wonder, okay, what all is he exactly dealing with to why he can't have his helmet on or he's not, you know, a full participant in a lot of these things? That was Nico Collins, for example, spoke to this very thing, exactly what you're talking about, the new terminology and just having to learn a new offense and the process of that. And you mentioned part of that might be overblown, but it is a thing that they're dealing with, and these are the early stages of that. This was Nico Collins after practice speaking just to that exact point.
It's what we're here for, OTA, around this time, man. It's what we learn the offense, learn little things, get back football, you know, spring ball. This when we find little things we need to work on, you know, and work on our craft. So on Sundays, it's easy. But I'm glad, you know, Nick here, Nick Cayley, man, he's dicing things up right now. So for the offense for us, we got to continue to slow it down, learn it. And so we got here and operating to have fun while doing it.
And I keep going back to Seth, if he was 100%, given the context that you just got from Nico Collins and the importance of what they're trying to do and install right now, if Stroud was 100%, he'd be out there doing 100% of the things.
I would think so, right? Unless they're on a very specific plan to just keep him limited in how many total reps he's taken in team drills during OTAs, just not to burn him out or whatever. That'd be the one exception to it. But by and large, if this was the third year with an offensive coordinator, then it makes a whole lot more sense if they say, well, you know what, we want Davis Mills to take all the reps with the ones and twos. We feel like he needs extra work. But it's not. It's the first year with an offensive coordinator. This is brand new to everybody. Davis Mills ends up getting all the reps with the ones and twos yesterday, while Keaton Slovis picked it up with the threes. That's a lot of time Davis Mills has in the system now already, and CJ Stroud does not.
Another thing from OTAs, is this really the offensive line? And maybe it's just way too early to be trying to read too much into this sort of thing, but it's what we got. It's what we saw. And this is the key part of this, Seth. I want you to remember this, okay? The reason why I think so many of us fixated on the first offensive line that we saw, it's because it's what they showed us immediately after we put the cameras down, immediately after we put our phones down. You know how there's that period where you can shoot video, you can shoot still photos,
yeah.
And then they tell you, all right, cameras down now, but you can still stick around and watch. You can still stick around and observe, right? And if it's something that they don't want us to see, they're not going to do it in front of us. But as soon as they tell us to put the cameras down, this is the thing that they show us. I don't know how we don't read into a couple of things. Titus Howard at right guard, Jake Andrews at center. Those are probably the biggest developments and the biggest surprises that we saw on the offensive line. Am I reading too much into it? What do you make of the offensive line reports from Texans OTA?
I think it's just evidence that there's a genuine competition there. That, you know, Titus Howard has only played 4 snaps at right guard in his career. So maybe for Laken Tomlinson, there's not as much competition because he's played only left guard his entire career. Maybe that's a position they most feel comfortable with. But for Jake Andrews, who's only got 70 NFL snaps in his career to begin with, and, you know, he didn't play under, like, he was with the Patriots, but he wasn't there when Cole Popovich, the offensive line coach, was there. He did play for Cole Popovich at Troy in college. But that part of it, and I know you can't read too much into it, they're going to put different guys out there, but the fact that Jake Andrews, new to the team and relatively unheralded, was out there with the ones right off the bat, that feels like there's going to be a totally and completely an actual competition. And the other notable one I thought was that Ariante Ursery played both left and right tackle.
Yeah.
I was curious about how they were going to work that, if they were just going to get him comfortable at left tackle and then move him. But they apparently want us to just see right off the bat, all right, Can you, if Cam Robinson is fine, and we don't feel great about Blake Fisher, can you actually compete for right tackle? And we'll see.
Yeah, it feels like with Arianse Ursary that they've drafted him, especially based off of the reporting that we've got over the last week or so about how aggressive they were in pursuing him. It does feel like they drafted him to be potentially the left tackle of the future. But in the meanwhile, since they feel so good about him, could he be their swing tackle in the meantime? Like if Cam Robinson and Blake Fisher are good enough to get you by through this year and you just kind of figure it out from there, can Arianse Ursary at the very least just be your swing tackle, especially if Titus Howard is going to be a full-time guard now? So that part of it would make sense that, you know, as opposed to rushing him into that left tackle role that it seems like he's going to be well suited for in the future, in the meantime, he's their swing tackle and they see what all he can handle.
I think this is a category where sometimes we as fans expect the team to have more of a plan than they actually do.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that in a bad way towards the team. I think that they're genuinely open to a bunch of different, like Casario always tries to emphasize being adaptable and, you know, not having things set in stone. And with Ursary, I think they probably see a lot of potential for him at either tackle position. Obviously, they tried that hard to get him and draft him. But that, again, going back to the competition theme, it's not like they're planning on him being the swing tackle. I mean, he's a massive human being. If all things were equal, if he and Blake Fisher played exactly equal through training camp, I would say put the massive human being out there.
Yes.
Put the planet-sized dude out there, because there is just something to having a whole bunch of mass on the offensive line. So that if he plays well during training camp and he cleans up the things that all rookies have to clean up, I don't think that they're looking at him as, oh, no, he's definitely not going to start it right away. I think they're very open to him potentially being a starter if he proves it.
Yeah. Swing tackle was kind of like a setting the floor, right? Like, to your point, if he's better or if all things are equal, then he's just and look, that stood out maybe more than anything was how this one guy was not like the others. And everybody out there is a massive human being, right? Like we're talking about NFL offensive linemen, and he was the massive of the most massive of the massive. If all things are equal, then go ahead and put him out there. That part of it certainly makes sense. And then, of course, maybe Blake Fisher is the guy who's your swing tackle. And if you don't necessarily feel as great about him being your starter, at the very least you feel good about him having some experience and him being somebody that can go out there and be your swing tackle if need be, right? Like if in a pinch, but you got Cam Robinson who's experienced, and then Arianse Ursary who appears to have the much higher upside. So that's something to watch out for. But I don't know if we're overreacting or properly reacting, but it's certainly something to keep an eye out for, and was certainly something to talk about enough to keep the chatter flowing on the sidelines at NRG or at the Houston Methodist Training Center yesterday. He's Seth Payne. I am Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast here on Payne Pendergast on Sports Radio 610. And coming up next, simple question. Is Lance McCullers back? We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Is Lance McCullers back? It's a simple question. 713-572-4610 is the text line. Of course, you can get involved on the YouTube chat, on the Twitch chat. Mo Karam, Injury Lawyers, presents that to you. But I want to know what y'all think, man, in light of Lance McCullers' 12-strikeout outing yesterday in an Astros win. And, of course, we know he didn't get the win. Dubin got the win, but he was, I thought, electric, kind of hopped in the time machine with really a career high, matches career high in strikeouts with 12. I want to know what y'all think. Is Lance McCullers back? Because damn it, Astros fans for sure need him to be, given what's going on with the pitching staff and the health of it. The news that we got earlier with Ronel Blanco having Tommy John surgery. So I want to know what y'all think based off of what y'all saw yesterday with Lance McCullers. Do you think that he's back? In the meantime, though, we've got Larry and Stafford on the phone who wants to weigh in on some of the topics of the day. Larry, man, how you feeling? What's going on?
Hey, you know it's good, B. Scott, man. It's always good to hear you in there. And then you and Seth in there talking that good talk about them boys on Kirby. But I'm going to get to them after I talk about Lance. Now, I'm not convinced Lance is back yet. That was a great performance yesterday. Seth said he was going to throw six innings, which is what he did. He got some 12 strikeouts. I need to see another outing like that or two to be convinced that Lance is back, because Lance, I like Lance, man, and I think he can help us the way our rotation is set up, man, with Hunter Brown and Framber, and you get another veteran like Lance to get in there and throw. But I got to see him do it more than once, man, because you have to be able to go out there and produce for these boys to get back to the World Series. So I'm going to keep crossing my fingers that Lance gives us another performance like that, and we'll see how it goes. Now, let's get to them boys on Kirby and these OTAs, B. Scott. You boys, you see, this is what I like about this this time of the year, man, because everybody get in a panic or they get in a little rut about what's going on over there on Kirby, man, with the offensive line and Joe not being there. And Kristen Harris being on the sideline, I don't give a damn about none of that until they get into training camp and they get to going to work for the season. And here's the thing about the O-line. I've been saying for months that they had enough old linemen over to go find us five that can go play. But, B. Scott, it's like when you go to the Mercedes dealership or the Corvette dealership, right? And you walk down the line and you see all different colors of Mercedes that you like, or Navigators, or whatever your car preference is. You ain't just trying to just pick the first one you look at. You want to test every single one of them to see which one's going to give you that feeling. I wasn't concerned about Andrews being at center yesterday, because here's the thing. The Texans don't have film on none of them dudes they had in their building. They got film from other teams. They want to see what they look like as a unit. So you put them all together, they're going to be just fine over there, because here's the thing. We still got the trigger man. And once the trigger man gets out there and get under center, then I'll get worried about what they put out there in front of him, because I don't never want to see him get hit as much as he got hit last year under that old Bobby Slowick crap. And another thing about the offensive line is Cole Popovich understands that he got to put them boys in the right position. So we're going to try out all these new cars and see which one fit. I like what's going on over there on Kirby. D'Amico over there looking jacked up like he ready to go hit somebody himself. We're going to get it all figured out. It's voluntarily, man. So let's just see how it play out. And as far as Stephon Diggs go, what was in that little bag that was pink, y'all know what that ecstasy looked like in our hollow.
I don't know what you're talking about.
How did I know that would be the dismounts?
I don't know if the whole real quick on the little baggie that Stephon Diggs was holding. I think it's fair to say, right, that nobody has a clue when it comes to any kind of a party drug or something. That just depends on whatever that manufacturer decided to put which color dye in it.
Yep.
So we don't know for sure. Or if it was just Pop Rocks or something like that. Or Skittles.
It could literally be anything. It's just the image of them being on a boat. Like, they're rich, they're famous, they're all in the celebrity life. Then they're on the boat, and then the attention that the women are showing him, and he's got the baggie, like, it's kind of what it implies more so than what it actually is. It could be anything. And then again, you and I both pointed this out. It is the either lack of awareness or just being just too straight up brazen to actually have it out in the open. Whatever it is that y'all are doing needs to be done where the cameras are not, and then maybe you show up on camera blitz from whatever it is that you've been doing, but you don't have the actual tangible thing in your hand just days ahead of OTAs. Voluntary or not, it's just it is an odd and not so great look, I think, and one that I'm sure that the Texans would have wanted to avoid had they been in this situation.
Yeah, it's all like the history of celebrity. When guys have a celebrity girlfriend, how well do they do in that given season? James Harden, one of his most disappointing seasons was when he was paired up with Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah.
Now, Justin Verlander's done pretty well with having a celebrity wife. Yeah. Hasn't affected him. Stefan and Cardi B, if that is indeed a real relationship, I don't know. I could see Khloe Kardashian kind of having a good effect on James Harden if it weren't for her clinging on emotionally to her old flame there. But like, Khloe's kind of wired differently than Cardi B.
Yeah, but
Cardi
see,
B, I get a little bit nervous about.
But see, I don't get the sense, like, to be fair to Cardi B here.
Yeah.
I don't get the sense that, like, either one of these, like most people, sports fans, when they don't want their star athlete, favorite athlete, whoever it is, to get with the other celebrity, it's because they feel like that celebrity influence or that relationship influence is going to be a negative influence on them, or at least a distraction to them from trying to do what they're trying to do. I don't feel like there's a clear protagonist and antagonist in this Cardi B, Stephon Diggs dynamic here.
That's what I know. It just seems like the classic, man. These are two kind of wild people.
Yeah.
And sometimes when two wild people are in a relationship together, there's not enough yin and yang balancing the other one out. And it can be awesome, but it can also be awesomely destructive. So I worry for both of them. I don't know if they're right for each other, Brandon.
Not quite to this degree, but it's got like Dennis Rodman, Madonna vibes to it. You know, like neither of these two, I think, is that level of famous, of course. But in terms of, hey, I don't know who's supposed to be the bad influence here, or maybe they are both that, but it's definitely got that kind of feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not our problem.
Not our problem.
Not going to be. The other big part about Stephon Diggs is he's 6 months removed from ACL surgery, so he probably wasn't going to participate anyway. But it'd be nice to have him there.
Yeah.
He wasn't at the Texans' first couple OTAs last year, for whatever that's worth. As far as what Larry was saying about not worrying about the quarterback or anything else like that, I get what he's saying. I can't ignore it when he's not out there for a non-contact practice. I just don't want to be. I don't want to later regret, like, oh wow, I guess we should have paid more attention to that. If he's probably going to practice on Friday, I'm just total guess on my part, and then it'll be no big deal, and we're all idiots for even being concerned about it.
Yeah, I like Larry's optimism about the offensive line, though. Like, I think this is where most Texans fans are trying to be and trying to get to, of like, hey, this offensive line is a huge question mark. None of us are impressed necessarily with what they did with the offensive line. We might like the Ariante Ursary draft pick, but outside of that, none of us are overly impressed with how they've addressed the position group or the room as a whole, right, this offseason. But the idea that it could work, like the Jake Andrews thing again, not overly impressed by that, but you can make that make sense. Okay, new system, new guy, and somebody who's got some history with the system. But then I'd also point out this as well, as far as the center position goes, it just speaks to how underwhelming that position has been. Like, that you could just go get some guy and put him in there, and we notice it, but nobody's really like, there's not this outcry on, oh, he's taking this guy's spot, because nobody has really grab that by the reins. It was supposed to be Juice Scruggs, and it turns out, you know, in the midst of all of these issues that they're having at guard, they kind of felt like they needed to replace center as well and put Juice at guard. And so then Jared Patterson comes in there, and Jared Patterson's a cool story and has, I think, filled in for you in respectable ways over the last couple of years, but has never really been like the plan at guard or the plan at center. Just somebody that you're glad to have and know that if you need him to step in for you in a pinch, that he can actually go out there and do it. But this being more of like the plan, I think kind of makes sense, or at the very least is something that you can justify them thinking it through. Like, I can see the vision, even if I'm not impressed by it.
The big thing that hurt, I think, when it came to how the Texans addressed the offensive line was that there were two teams in the league, the Bears and the Vikings, that were way more aggressive about it. I mean, the Bears went out and signed or traded for Ryan Kelly and Will Freese, and then they drafted Donovan Jackson in the first round. So, like, three new acquisitions that are pretty bold print acquisitions. Bears, likewise, I mean, they go out and get three new starters, all notable players. That's in free agency. And the Texans just, other than Ariante Ursary, there were not any seemingly aggressive moves to actually bolster the offensive line. And that's where they don't need to be the best offensive line in the league. They just need to be, if they're average, that'll be way better than they were last year. The dicey thing is that last year I felt like as individuals, that offensive line should have played a lot better. I don't think they had the right coaching or offensive coordinator and a whole host of other issues. That's where a lot of whether or not you like this offensive line is going to come down to how good are Nick Caley and Cole Popovich. And if they can just actually engineer a better run game, if they can hammer home the fundamentals more so than the Texans did last year, then yeah, there'll be a better offensive line. I don't know what the ceiling is. I don't necessarily feel comfortable saying, oh yeah, it's going to be an awesome offensive line, but you, with just an average offensive line, you can do a lot. You can have a lot of success with an average offensive line as long as you don't have glaring weaknesses somewhere in there.
Yeah, one thing I definitely did not want to read too much into yesterday at practice was picking up on the body language and tendencies of Nick Caley and Cole Popovich and comparing them and what it's like. I think it matters and it's worth paying attention to, but I don't want to prejudge them either or give them too much credit or be too pessimistic about them until I actually see the results on the field. Like, I see them out there coaching or doing their job, whatever that means on the surface of it. but this is going to be a results-based thing. Like, I got to actually put pen to paper with this thing. We got to actually see it come to fruition before I'm like, oh, yeah, Cole Popovich, that looks like it's going to be a hit. This offensive line has figured it out because he's at the helm. Like, I feel good about it, but I couldn't do that just based off of the practices. And same thing with Mick Cayley. But that is a great deal of where the hope lies, where the optimism lies, I think, in the future of the offense specifically, and then the team at large, how those guys perform, and then how the actual offensive line performs under them, under their coaching performance. So we'll see how all of that works out. Seth Payne here with Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. Coming up on the last segment, we're going to hand it over to the guys in the loop. But before we do that, I think this is a big, big Will Anderson year coming up. We're going to tell you why. That's on the other side, Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
I just love that it feels like the public at large is having it's fun with the Stephon Diggs substance story and not taking it too seriously. You know, life is short. They're on a boat. They're having a good time. And I think people are really just kind of looking at this like, hey, man, these are the breaks. This is the cost of doing business with a high profile wide receiver like Stephon Diggs, like a guy that's had multiple contracts now. This guy is rich. He's famous and he's on a boat and he's got a substance. We've seen people call it pink creatine. We've seen people say that, hey.
Clearly, it's a pre-workout powder, obviously.
Yeah.
He's just getting ready for his post-boat workout.
All a part of the plot. All a part of the plan. This isn't a deviation at all. No, sir. No, sir. Not at all. This is just a fairly normal thing. Also, people saying this is true wide receiver one type of behavior. Like, you may not like your wide receivers, diva wide receivers, as they say, but this is what it looks like. Like this is what the premier. Now the question is Stephon Diggs at his age and given now the more recent injury history, is he still, closer to being that elite guy? But this is how they behave. This is how they tend to act at times, a little bit high maintenance and maybe making you worry a little bit more than you would like to normally worry about what your players are doing in the offseason.
Yeah.
Fair to say.
That's especially when OTAs are going on up in New England and you got he's a brand new guy and a brand new team with a brand new offense. And we saw how good he was with the younger players last year. He's only 6 months or 7 months removed from his ACL, so he probably wouldn't be doing much in OTAs. But it's nice to have him around, mentoring and tutoring. And teaching them exactly where, when, where, and how to carry your pink substance in a baggie.
Now,
these are the lessons the young guys need.
Now, I'll tell you who I'm absolutely not worried about at all when it comes to this sort of thing, and that's Will Anderson Jr. Now, that's probably in part two because I've met Will Anderson Sr. And this guy comes from all of the right stuff, but when we talk about Will Anderson, man, I don't know if this guy has ever lost a press conference. He's probably won every press conference that he's ever taken part of. But hearing from him yesterday and just sort of the energy and the passion that he brings to it makes you really feel like, or at least me, makes me really feel like this is a big Will Anderson year coming. Like when we talk about C.J. Stroud being, on the year before you're going to pay the quarterback, but you're also having a similar conversation with Will Anderson Jr. And I'm just excited about the type of season that he can have. Like it's sort of the opposite what happened on the defensive side, right? Like both of these guys were rookie of the year. I'm talking about Stroud and Anderson, rookie of the year on their respective side of the ball. Stroud, not all of his own fault, but in part because of his own performance as well, seemed to take at least some step back or at the very least was kind of stagnant in his growth. Whereas Will Anderson, I thought, took a leap, took a bit of a step and improved in ways from his rookie year to his second year that are encouraging and makes you feel like it's going to be a similar thing going from year two to year three when he talks about being more precise, using his hands better. It was just really kind of cool to listen to Will Anderson talk about improving, not adding to his arsenal, but fine-tuning and improving the things that he already does really well.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's coming out here. I was all, like, fired up and everything like that. And, D'Amico pulled me to the side and was like, now it's just fine-tuning those little things of your game. Like, how precise can you be? How good can you be at taking the next step? And for me, it's just like, when I'm on a block, using my hands better, getting off blocks, my escape, when I'm rushing the passer, like, am I reaching with precision on the quarterback? Can I get some strip sacks, stuff like that? So, like, those are the things I want to work on this offseason, this time doing OTAs and really just getting precise at those things and taking my game to the next level.
What do you feel like, Seth? What is that type of precision do you feel like does for Will Anderson's game and taking it to the next level?
For a lot with Will, the transition he made from year one to year two and what he got better at was just hitting his moves more quickly and having everything just kind of like in your sequence as a pass rusher from your get off to when you're closing in on the offensive tackle to which move you hit and then which counter move you hit. Like in his rookie year, it was kind of mechanical. Last year, it just flowed. And like this year, he just needs to continue basically doing all the same things he was doing. It's just he needs the muscle memory. And I think he used muscle memory in one of his quotes from a couple weeks ago in an interview. The muscle memory for all of that stuff to happen automatically. And that's where, like, when Will came out, one of the knocks against him was that, hey, he's pretty raw and unpolished as a pass rusher. And that was accurate. He really did not have a lot of polish. He wasn't like guys that have been playing about 4-3 defensive end their entire careers from high school on into college. He was a guy who had played on the line. He had played off-ball linebacker. He was never really a genuine, just wide-aligned pass rusher. So he had a lot of work to do. In his rookie year, he made a lot of progress with that. Last year, it just looked more automatic. And there's nothing mystical or magical about it. He just needs to keep drilling the stuff that he does to get to the point where it's just grooved in ridiculous. Like when you would watch J.J. Watt play, it's not like J.J. had a huge arsenal of plays or of pass rush moves, but he was so quick and effective and powerful with it that it didn't matter. It's like a pitcher that only has two pitches. It doesn't matter what you're seeing. As long as those two pitches offset each other and keep the batter uncomfortable, that's enough. And I think Will is that way. It's just a matter of just continuing to get better at his core business.
Yeah, there's something to be said for being a force. And I think JJ was this way and Will is this way. Just being a force in and of himself, but then also that motor. Like there's just something to be said for being strong, powerful, and trying your hardest all the time, you know, like all the damn time. And I think that part of it goes a long way. This was also Will Anderson in talking about his goals going into year three.
Yeah, doing this, like the phase one, phase two, Coach Rod, I think he's been doing an excellent job. Like we do these things called pro grows, and that's when we go back and look at all the tape from last year. And he did a really good job of putting together a really good presentation for each and one of us. And for me, mine's just reaching with precision. So after practice or during practice when I'm not in, we're getting on the dummies, we're reaching, we're going through bags, bending in the corner, reaching with precision, stuff like that, and just making sure that it's just muscle memory. So when you get on Sunday, he's just doing it.
Yeah. So you were talking about I think you mentioned muscle memory quote. There is one right there, like just kind of repetition and getting it going. And really it's just sort of some of the little things, right? Like just kind of the repeatability of it all. I really think that Will Anderson is primed for a hell of a season after hearing some of that.
His pro grow tape last year, he was about getting separation at the top of his rush. And if you think about Will in his rookie year, a lot of times he would get to the top of his rush, like when you're getting back to the depth of the quarterback, and he would just turn everything into a bull rush. And he'd just kind of lock horns. And in college, you can be a bull in a china shop. In the NFL, when you try to be a bull in a china shop all the time, you realize that, oh, some of these figurines are made of solid lead. I just can't. It's not going to work. I gotta add something to this. And he did. He got a lot better at creating separation. And a lot of times that created more opportunities to disengage and get a guy when he started scrambling out of the pocket. He got a lot better with that. I assumed when he meant reaching, he was talking about the finish of just going for the strip sack.
Yeah.
Unless he was talking about something else.
And I think it's important to point out, he's talking about Rod Wright, the defensive line coach, showing them what they need to improve on. And that was part of his tape, but he also spoke at some point in this availability about that being kind of a theme for the defense, right? Of just like finishing plays and not leaving as much meat on the bone, and like just all of the opportunities that were left out there that were left out there on the field for that very reason. Just the idea of finishing plays, finishing through with the plays, is what it sounded like to me.
And you think just about that, that simple act alone of just getting the ball off of the quarterback's hand when you haven't even necessarily had to win the pass rush. You just got to get close enough. That's what Will has always been really good at doing, because he can compress the pocket even if he's not necessarily winning the rush. But just so when you get in proximity, there's a million different ways you can finish that play. the guys that have a knack for getting the ball right out of the quarterback's hands, that can be worth like an extra 3 or 4 sacks a year. That ends up being the difference between, you know, like Robert Mathis was awesome, and he was an undersized guy. He was only 6'2", but he was brilliant at strip sacking the quarterback. And like without that one skill, he's probably not nearly as high on the all-time sack leader.
Should mention that Crosstalk is brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing. As we welcome in the fellas from In the Loop, Reginald Autotula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, I'm sure is also in the building or shortly going to be here shortly. Fellas, I don't know what y'all's OTA takeaways were mainly. I'm sure we'll hear them from 10 to 2 today on the program. But the Will Anderson thing, I was just saying a moment ago, I don't feel like the dude has ever lost a press conference. And every time he gets up there and talks, it inspires me just a little bit. Like, I ain't nobody's football player, right? But I'll run through a wall listening to Will Anderson talk, and just hearing from him has me really optimistic about the season that the dude's going to have.
Yeah, like, he gives off a air that is wise beyond his years. And it gives me a level of peace. Like, whatever is going to happen, I know that he is going to make sure that it goes well. Like, he is going to have the right answer for it. And I also appreciate both of you guys, like, breaking this down over the course of the show, but kind of talking about how it's really just refining what he has already. Like, yep. He already has all the goods, basically. And it made me think of, you named, Seth, a few players that kind of have had various, you mentioned JJ and, like, not having, like, I guess what in basketball terms we would be like the deep bag or what have you, but like the things that you do, doing them incredibly well. And I just keep thinking Julius Peppers, like how everybody knew that spin was coming, but that spin would work every single time. I'm like, if he gets to that place where it's just like whatever he's coming at you with, it's going to work and be effective no matter what you got coming.
Dwight Freeney was like that.
Yes.
Same thing.
Right. I can only imagine what this looks like in a level of like effectiveness that it seems like he is working towards. And of course, because he is Will Anderson Jr. and he talks the way that he does, it feels like I'm guaranteed that he gets there, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he was talking yesterday like he'd had a sniff of that pink baggie or something. That Will is a guy who never, ever, ever, ever needs to dabble in or experiment with any kind of stimulants whatsoever. And I would include coffee in that.
Yeah.
He was talking a million miles a minute there.
He was.
Watch
out, opposing offensive lineman. If this dude gets a hold of whatever is in Stephon Diggs' bag, watch out.
I feel like we should be very clear in making the case that I don't think that he is dealing with any pink baggies.
I don't. No.
I don't even want to get close to this.
No.
No, if he got a hold of something that was in that baggie, Will would have the entire house cleaned in 37 minutes flat.
Is that what happened with LT?
Where's Will? I don't know. He's up in the attic, fine cleaning the attic.
He's vacuuming the attic.
Yeah, pass rushing is the last thing that you got to worry about. This dude is taking care of business.
Mm-hmm.
But
got his next 3 years taxes done already.
Exactly.
Will Anderson Jr. on the limitless drug? Like, is that what we're doing here? Yes. Like, he'd end world hunger, right? Like, I feel like Will Anderson Jr. on the limitless drug would get a lot of things done.
I feel like we're kind of making the case for him doing it, though. So, like, we should probably back away from that.
I said the limitless drug.
I feel like
drug.
We're making a little too much of a case for cocaine. So we better back off on that, too. Kids, you'll get your house cleaned, and then you'll lose your entire family.
Sometime
a month later.
D&M Auto Leasing is sponsoring the Crosstalk. They are not sponsoring that level of commentary.
Exactly.
I can guarantee you that 100%. What about y'all?
I'd say I warned them. They'd lose their whole family.
What about y'all before we kick it off to y'all in terms of overreactions? I know y'all going to get to it on the show, but did y'all have anything that you had a visceral reaction to from OTAs, from the first practice of OTAs yesterday?
Well, I don't know if it's a visceral reaction as much as a question. And it has to do with C.J. Stroud not throwing.
Okay.
You
can interest me in that.
10:20.
Okay. Is that so that's not the question of the day, because the question of the day is at 10:40. What's your question of the day?
The question of the day might have something to do with C.J. Stroud, too. What's the worst reason you ever had to miss something?
Ah. So we've got
a... Do you mean a worst reason as in, like, it was genuinely a bad thing?
Yeah, like, you shouldn't have missed it, but you missed it for this reason.
dude, I appreciate the C.J. Stroud-inspired 10 o'clock hour. I am 100% here for that.
No, I guess I'm still – do you mean, though, that your excuse, like whatever your excuse was, wasn't actually that good of an excuse?
No. It was actually true. I'll give you an example.
I feel like you can go either way with that.
Yeah, you can.
I'm still interested in what your answer is,
I'll give you
an
example for the 10-40 question of the day. I actually cut short my honeymoon.
Oh, no.
I cut short my honeymoon by 2 days to do something.
Mm.
It was real. I mean, it's a real reason I did it.
I'm going to have to
say what you had to do.
Did you say what it was?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you now, and I'll revisit it. So Shelby Metcalf, legendary basketball coach at Texas A&M. I was in his office, and I said, hey, just want you to know I'm getting married this weekend, but I'll be back for the Southwest Conference basketball tournament. And I had originally had a 7-day honeymoon. I cut it to 5 days. And he looked at me with this quizzical look, and he was a really funny guy. And he goes, John, if you're cutting your honeymoon short for basketball, there's either something I don't know about basketball or something you don't know about honeymoon.
Yeah. Or something that he didn't know about you.
Right. Then he sat down and gave you the talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, do you know what they do
when
there?
A man and a woman love each other.
And then you explain to him, but after 5 days of it, you kind of figured out. All
a man can only do so much.
Yeah. It start hurting after a while.
That's right.
Yeah, man, it's all
I gotta
good.
Say, you know what? That reminds me of the...
I'm like, wait, are we just going to skip by the fact that B. Scott might need to go get something tested?
You shoot too many rounds, I'm just saying.
Go ahead, Seth. You think that this is consecutively? Like, you're just going to continue? Like, that's the whole honeymoon? Is it?
7 days of it.
No, I remember it was for a good reason. I was supposed to do something with my girlfriend in college. This is just the first thing that popped into my head. But then my college coach called me and said they had a big recruit coming in and they wanted me to host him. So I told my girlfriend, like, listen, I really don't think I should turn this down. Like, they really want me to do this. And she pulled the old, what do you love more, football or me?
Oh, no. Oh, God.
And then I realized in that moment, I totally love football more than you.
You don't want
that
answer, Shawty.
I don't even have to entertain the question. The fact that you asked, that you tried to pull the old false dilemma on me. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. And that was it for us.
Yeah.
At least a month or two.
The fact that she had the nerve to think that was a legitimate question.
Yeah.
Hey, I hope no one ever told her that there's no such thing as a bad question, because that'd be one of them.
Yeah, remind
it never. Well, because you know what happens with that. It never stops. Then it's
exactly.
Like, oh, do you love work or me more? Like, when they start presenting you with these either-or situations, all right, you're not an adult, okay?
I'll give you a list.
You don't understand compromise or anything about it.
A good reminder of not asking questions that you don't want answers.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. When you ask the questions, you do not get to pick the answers. That's just right. The reality of it. All right, so this is Crosstalk, again, brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing, and you're listening to KIOT-AM. KIOT FM HD2 Houston and Odyssey Sports Station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.